with you.
Yeah, well. Well, it's one less customer for Gillette and Vermishade.
There you are.
All right. don't worry about a thing, Don. So it's 2 minutes after four. Let's call the meeting to order, if we don't mind. And please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Haley, if you could post the flag, please. Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America
and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible,
with
liberty and justice for all.
And I would like to acknowledge the fact that we are fortunate to be living in a country with so much injustice taking place at this time, and yet there are so many people out there demonstrating for what is right and good and true for our nation. And that's something that we should be grateful for the opportunity to do, despite a certain amount of pushback from the powers that be. That's just my humble, how can I say it? That's my humble opinion. Mm-hmm. All right, so we have a quorum finally. Mr. Carmel, do we have a report from closed session, please?
Yes, President Farmer. At the June 18th regular meeting, the board considered pending litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9D1. The board approved the settlement agreement in the Madrid versus CCSD matter. The district agreed to restore accrued leave, which the plaintiff will use beginning July 1st, 2020, until her date of retirement on October 2nd, 2020. Her base pay will increase to $99 an hour for those 3 months. The district's insurer, the Special District Risk Management Authority, will pay plaintiff and her counsel the sum of $130,000, and the case will be dismissed with prejudice. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Carmel. And this has been an issue that's been taking place for quite a while, and I know that some folks might be slightly dissatisfied with the outcome from the decision-making that took place, but this is something that is no longer an issue with the district, and we can now move forward. So thank you, Mr. Carmel. So anyone have any agenda review, additions or deletions? Hearing none?
I don't really so much have a deletion. Do you normally call for items to be considered on the consent agenda at this time?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Okay. Because I had one item on the consent agenda that I just had a revision to, but it isn't any reason to be to find it necessary to pull it off the consent agenda.
Okay, that's fine. And obviously you can make a comment when we get to consent agenda.
Absolutely.
On that item.
Thank you.
Thank you. So with regard to acknowledgments, we were hoping to give a tip of the hat to the members of our fire department who, after having the really difficult problem with the flooding that took place and the months that it took to repair the damage that happened at the fire station, and basically it was all volunteer work done by the members of the fire department, and we were hoping to acknowledge that today, but it appears that they're not available at this time.
Mr. President?
Yes.
I was just going to ask Kaylee, how many are we missing? Because if we're just missing three or four and we've got the preponderance of the group, it may be worth proceeding.
We actually are just missing the on-duty crew right now, but in attendance is Captain Daniel McCrane, Engineer Ryan Maloney, and Reserve Firefighter Tim Murdoch, if you guys would like to recognize them at this time.
Well, certainly, we would acknowledge them, and I'm sure that they'll pass on whatever kind comments we make to the three that are here, that it's understandable that, like I said, these remarks and acknowledgments are for all the members of the fire department. And so any board members or our general manager, would you like to make any comments with regard to, and our fire chief? I'm assuming that No, actually, I believe that William is on vacation this week. Mm-hmm. Right. So, Mr. Weigold, General Andrew Weigold, why don't you make a statement right now?
Yes, I have a letter to read in this regard. To members of the Cambria Fire Department, on behalf of the Cambria Community Services District and the community, I would like to express my sincere appreciation to all fire department personnel for their support and participation in helping to repair the fire station. In February of 2019, we suffered a catastrophic flood after the rupture of water lines in the front office restroom. Initial cost estimates to repair the damage exceeded $50,000. After multiple delays, none of which were in our control, we were able to reach a settlement agreement with our insurance carrier to move forward with repairs. The one caveat to that agreement was that we would have to complete all necessary work with existing staff members. Your team support and participation in station repairs was unparalleled in excellence. Most of the work was completed while on duty, in addition to your assigned responsibilities and mandated training, not to mention uninterrupted emergency responses. I know the amount of time this took and sympathize with the long days of work and all the tasks achieved under the guise of other duties as assigned. It is commonly said that a firefighter must be a master of many skills and abilities, even going as far to suggest that the fire engine itself is essentially a very large toolbox. Your hearts are truly committed to public service, and you give back more than you receive. This was clear based on the sweat and toil you exercised in this process. The station looks amazing, and you should be proud of what you have accomplished. Please accept my true admiration for going above and beyond what is typically expected of those in your positions. I want to acknowledge each of you who did the work and answered this call of duty. We are blessed to have a dedicated group of individuals. Those include Chief William Hollingsworth, Captain John Gibson, Captain Dan McCrane, Captain Emily Trelano, Engineer Mike Berkey, Engineer Mike Castellanos, Engineer Ryan Maloney, Engineer Tim Murdoch, Engineer Aaron Hunt, Firefighter Craig Brooks, Firefighter Jeff Luna, Firefighter Matt McKelney, Firefighter Ryan Mort, Firefighter Noah Munns, Firefighter Kayla Pedrani, Firefighter Keith Radecki, Firefighter Lionel Salas, Firefighter Ben Shank, and Firefighter William Packard. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, General Andrew Weigold. Go right ahead.
If no one minds, I'd like to add on to that also, President Farmer.
Yeah, there's someone else's face came up on the screen, and that kind of distracted me, and I don't know who that person is. He's up there in the corner, so go right ahead, Vice President Steidel, and you go ahead and comment, and then I think someone else wishes to make a comment as well.
Okay. I wanted to say that I was impressed with the willingness to spend the energies and the skills not only in repairing the damage, but improving the station overall. And it talks to the commitment and pride that you have as a team. Our district and community as a whole is fortunate to have such a team of professionals to rely on, and I extend you my thanks.
Thank you, Vice President Steidel. Mr. Mahoney, is that you up there? Is that someone's face that I can see on the screen? Well, apparently not.
Oh. Hello?
Yes, Director Rice.
I'm sorry, I just arrived. I apologize for my tardiness.
No problem. We were just acknowledging the fine work done by the members of our fire department in repairing the damage that was done at the fire station. And both General Manager Weigold and Vice President Steidel have made comments. So that's where we're at right now. I was going to ask Director Pearson, since he is the head of the Fire Safe Focus Group, if he would wish to make a comment as well.
Sure. I stopped in the firehouse the other day just to pick up my ordinance changes, I guess it was. And I got a social distanced tour around, and I'll tell you, they did absolutely tremendous work over there. The flooring and everything is just perfectly done. I think they've all now got themselves a job that they can line up for retirement. Well done, guys. Well, yeah. And girls, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Director Pearson. And hopefully the majority of folks on the at our fire station, the majority of them are still have many years of service to give to our community. So, Director Howell, did you or Director Rice wish to make any comments, or shall we move on?
I'm good.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's move on right now to public safety. And Commander Nelson, are you out there?
We have another acknowledgement.
Oh, we have another acknowledgement. Thank you. I was unaware of that. Yes, go right ahead, General Manager Weigold.
Haley, do we have any of the Honey Hut personnel on the line?
No, we do not at this time.
Okay. So I'll read the letter to member on behalf of the Cambria Community Service District and the community of Cambria. I would like to express our sincere appreciation to Harvey and Jennifer Smith, owners of Harvey's Honey Huts, for supplying the district and Cambria's homeless population with chemical toilets and hand washing stations. This included weekly cleaning and restocking of both units during the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. We also want to recognize Amy Ridgway, office manager at Harvey Honey Huts, for her support to the district. In March of 2019, the district was forced, March of 2020, the district was forced to adjust its operations as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. One of the mitigations included the closure of our district public restrooms due to the risk to residents and district staff. Locally owned Harvey Honey Huts responded to our call by providing portable toilets and hand washing stations to temporarily provide relief to our staff and the public. Of note is that the company has been providing these services on the Fiscalini Ranch to serve the homeless population and doing this free of charge to the district and the community. Thank you all very much for your service to the Cambria community. Sincerely, John Weigold, General Manager.
Well, thank you, John. And I've known Harvey and Jennifer Smith for over 30 years, and they are two of the most thoughtful and generous people in our community. And so I'm not surprised that they offered this service free of charge to the less fortunate in our community. And my hat's off to them, and I hope that they're both in good health. Anyone else on the board wish to make a comment at all? Okay, so we'll move on now to public safety. And Commander Nelson, are you out there?
I don't see him in attendance at this time.
You are right. So we will move on. And I seem to recall that he gave a report last night at the NCAC meeting, but I don't recall the details. So let's just say, let's be grateful for the fact that for the most part, all is well in our humble community. And the fire chief is not here this week. He's on vacation. Is anyone out there that is going to give the report in his place?
Yes. Engineer Michael Berkey is here to give the report.
All right, Michael. Good afternoon.
All right. So I'll get started. let's see here. So I believe we'll start with the monthly incident statistics, which is total response was 71 total responses. Most of those were rescue and EMS as normal. And then we also had quite a bit of lift assist service calls. I believe overall our call volume has been down a little bit, which has been pretty consistent with the COVID-19 kind of throughout that entire, this entire event. So moving on with that. So we just have an update with that. So the county announced that there's 1,112 COVID cases currently in the county. Six total deaths is the latest update. I believe they're giving another update right now, matter of fact. I don't have the specifics on where those people are and how many are recovered and all that kind of stuff, but there's the total numbers. Really quick, touching on that COVID-19 type of stuff here, we've been awarded the grant, the firefighters, the assistance to firefighters grant program. So that's pretty awesome. We just were awarded a grant for a total of $22,525 roughly. And that's going to go for eye protection, reusable respirators and N95s, that kind of stuff. Any kind of surgical mask, gloves, hand sanitizer, all of that kind of thing. So that's super exciting for us too. That's really it. That's like a quick down and dirty update with all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's it.
Well, thank you for that brief report. You know, you were just mentioning about the COVID-19, and I'm sure many people in the audience have taken a look at the readyslow.org website to see the circumstances with regard to what's occurring, what has been occurring, and what's taking place at this time. And you were mentioning, I think it's up to 1,065 cases. I think in two of the last 5 days, there's been over 60 cases in two of those 5 days, which is pretty alarming. That's the first time that has happened. So let's hope for better health for all as we move forward and more people being considerate and wearing masks and physical distancing. So thank you, Mr. Berkey, for your report. And all the best at the fire station, and let's hope for a safe and calm summer.
President Clark.
Director Wright, I see that. Director Wright, you have your hand up.
Just curious on the grant. Congratulations, by the way. I'm so proud of our fire department for getting so many grants. My question is, were there matching funds required for that?
Absolutely. And so I can mention the awarded amount was 22.5, a little bit over that. And what we're going to have to pay was just a little over $1,000, $1,126.
So that's fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, it was really good. Anything helps for us. So yeah, it's
thank
awesome.
You.
Thank you. And thank you, Director Rice, for making that inquiry. So let us move on to item four, and that's a report from the PROS Commission, Parks, Recreation, and Open Space. I see that Chairman Steve Niffen is in the audience. So, Steve, step right up, unmute yourself. Thank you, and go right ahead.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me. A couple of things. We, it sounds like, received the $20,000 grant from the county for the plans and design of the restroom facility on East Ranch. So that's a big positive right there. Big thanks to Haley for putting all the paperwork on that together to make that happen. So that will be sometime in the future, depending on how COVID turns out in the next couple of months. But that will be on the front burner for the commission here in the next, you know, session. And then, other than that, the big item on the plate right now is the skate park. I see a number of people in the audience, and I'm assuming there's going to be comment on that. So I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about it myself necessarily, to say, other than you've seen there's been a big push. There's a group coming together. They're going to get a committee together. So I'm happy with that. I have personal feelings that I could display right now, but there's no need, I don't think. I'll accept responsibility for how we got here and why we're here right now. There's a little disappointment on why we're here and how we got here, and I'm sorry about that, and I accept responsibility to the skate park people. I think we can move forward and get to the goals that they want to get to eventually. It's going to take some time. But that being said, the skate kids have stepped forward, and I think I'm going to let them speak for themselves in public comment. And if there's any questions, I'll take them. Good. Seeing none.
President Farmer, I do have a quick question. I just want to make a comment. I don't know if there would be support from the other board members for this, but when we look at the design for the restroom, can we look at what the cost would be to put in a shower for homeless folks? I just want to know what the impact of that would be on a design for that place, because it's one of the homelessness has become an even bigger problem, even in this area. And providing a shower would help those folks maybe get their feet under them so they could get a job and maybe eventually have a roof over their head if that's their goal. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Are you addressing that to Harry or to me?
I think to you, since you're the restroom guy, or at least.
Well, I would be happy to entertain that idea. I think that that would be a burdensome concept to put on to our committee as to whether or not that would benefit the community. You know, the pro people would say that's a good idea. The anti people would say that's a bad idea. And I would say, I'm just trying to get a soccer field, you know. I guess if I have to put showers for homeless people at the bathroom facility, we'll do it. But that might be a, you know, if somebody told me to do it, we'll put that in the plan.
Well, let me just interject this, that I believe it's every Sunday at the library in San Luis Obispo. They bring portable showers in. To make available for the homeless to just, you know, have the opportunity to feel more like members of the community and being appreciated for the human beings that they are as a result of at least having cleanliness to that degree at least once a week. And perhaps someone like myself should investigate if we could perhaps do something like that in Cambria on a weekly basis, in one fashion or another. So thank you, Director Rice, for bringing that up.
Yeah.
Anything further to report, Steve?
No, I think I'll let the kids talk for themselves.
All right. All right. Thank you very much, Steve. Thanks so much, and have a good weekend.
I'll stay here through public comment to assist, if I may.
Okay. All right, thank you. So speaking of public comment, let's go right there. And public comment is available to address any items within the scope of the district that isn't on today's regular agenda. So how many folks do we have who wish to make public comment, Haley?
Let's see, I have four written comments to read, and it looks like two members of the public. Christine hasn't raised her hand yet, but I know she would like to speak. So the first...
Okay, well, I'm sorry. Go right ahead. Why don't you... let's hear the written comments first, and then go to the folks that wish to speak.
Okay. The first written comment is from Lori Slater. Dear CCSD and citizens of Cambria, I've lived in Cambria since 1992. California naturally has droughts. Under the duress of the state's emergency drought level, several crafty people took advantage of Cambria's sense of distress. I don't remember voting for the tremendously expensive EWF, which was the 2014 CCSD purchase as a water source. Later, for legal purposes, the CCSD proclaimed that its name be changed as Sustainable Water Facility in order to show good faith that it would be used as a permanent water source. The astronomical cost of eliminating the hazardous waste alone makes it unworkable as a permanent water facility. The 2014 CCSD board, which indebted us to the rebranded EWS, have left us with a fiasco. While we pay our debt, we are not paying for a sustainable water source for Cambria. I do not support the SWF. Sincerely, Lori Slater. The second public comment is from Dave and Karen Pearson, which is not Director Pearson. We would like to comment on the current EWS-SWS situation. We have lived in Cambria for 33 years and are tired of the recklessness of the CCSD. We voted for an emergency plan, and unless you have another vote, it is illegal. In doing this project, you are putting our community on the brink of insolvency. It's about power and control of resources by private and corporate interests. The CCSD's budget for the plant in the coming year is $1.5 million, and that doesn't include the $100,000 for data collection, salaries for personnel to operate it, disposal of brine, etc. You are trying to cause Cambria to go bankrupt. We are tired of all the misinformation of the CCSD and others are putting out. This community needs the facts, and only the facts you seem to be giving them is what they need. What we need this expensive plant, and we need it now. That is not true, and we know it. We are just asking you to act responsibly. Dave and Karen Pearson. The next public comment is from Faye Watson. Can the board please provide a status update on the Cambria Skate Park and any efforts to rebuild it? There's a petition going around of over 1,000 signatures in favor of rebuilding the skate park for Cambria youth. I was raised in Cambria, and the skate park was an extremely positive part of my classmates' lives. It is sad to think that this positive environment is not available for Cambria's youth today. I would appreciate any information on what the board can do to support rebuilding the skate park, what the public can do to support rebuilding the skate park, the costs associated with rebuilding the park, if fundraising is needed, and the ways in which the budget can support this. Best regards, Faye Watson. And the last written comment is from Donald Archer. Dear President Farmer, Vice President Seidel, and CCSD Board of Directors, the EWS was a Trojan horse from the beginning, and the entire project has financially shackled this small community ever since. From its inception, it has stolen funds badly needed for upgrading and replacing our aging, decaying infrastructure. By doing so, it has put this community in grave risk by depriving it of the urgently needed upgrading of our wastewater treatment facility, as well as providing adequate water storage and water delivery systems that are urgently needed to combat inevitable wildfires. This fast-tracked, shock doctrine, bungled project has been a cart before the horse issue ever since it was originally ill-conceived, at a time when other less expensive, less invasive, and less binding alternatives were put before the board. The details and conditions of the loan were never candidly and clearly presented to the community. When it was proposed, the community was assured that the project was to be used only for dire water supply shortages and emergencies, and specifically not to promote growth. However, without the community's knowledge or consent, the loan agreement that was negotiated and signed required the facility to be permitted for permanent, not emergency sustained use. The SWF was not only a name change, it was a betrayal of the trust that the community put in its original proposal. As the all too apparent problems of the EWS mounted, the major players in this project conveniently began jumping ship, dropping out of sight, and some dropped out of the community altogether, leaving the rest of us holding the bag, saddled with crippling debt and with no emergency, let alone sustainable source of water to fall back on. This boondoggle was promoted at the expense of the financial and environmental well-being of Cambria and at the expense of the basic infrastructure needs of the CCSD. This $13 million albatross is sitting idle on the San Simeon Creek Road collecting interest and rust. It has yet to produce any significant amount of water for the community in its 5 years of existence. I did not and do not support the bait and switch shenanigans that have been going on since this project began. The SWF has not been in the best interest of this community. We cannot afford it or the growth it will promote. And along with its flawed design and the expense of hauling away its brine waste, the exorbitant energy cost of its providing the community with potable water is unsustainable. Please do not keep pumping resources and faith into a failed system, throwing good money after bad. I hope you will give careful and thoughtful consideration to this matter. Donald Archer.
All right. Thank you, Haley. Yes, welcome. Go ahead.
And we have, it looks like, two members that wish to speak, and I believe Christine Heinrich. So would you like me to bring in the first individual?
Yes, so please go right ahead. And I just want to make a comment that I believe Ms. Slater and Mr. Archer had hoped to make those comments at our special meeting on June 25th, but unfortunately they were out of town and when they were unable to do so, that's the reason I believe that they put in their statements today. So thank you, Haley. And let's go on to people that are in the audience right now as attendees, and let's hear their public comment. Thank you, Haley.
You're welcome. The first member of the public is Sharathaham.
Nathan?
Sarah.
Yes, can you guys hear me?
We can.
My name is actually Sarah Tatham. I'm Sarah Tatham's son, and I just wanted to come here today to represent the Cambria Skate Park Initiative Committee with my friend Dane and Jack and my mom, as well as David Amade and Julie Amade. And we just wanted to say we really want the skate park back, and we just want to know how we can get that up and running and see what we can do and what you guys can help us with. Thank you.
Thank you, Cyrus. Haley, who would our next speaker be?
The next speaker is Tina Dickinson.
Thank you, Haley. Good afternoon, President Farmer Board. I'd like to make a correction on comments I made on June 25th about the cost per acre foot for the facility. So I based it on, generously, on 250 acre feet. But when the tracer tests were performed and being in touch with the Department of Drinking Water, I learned that 50% of what was produced, we only received 50% of what actually was in the tracer test. So realistically then, when you divide the current costs of running the plant when it's not even producing is about $1.5 million a year, then it should be divided not 250 acre feet by 125, and that actually is 12,800 an acre foot. That's when it's not running. So what happens when you're trucking 9 trucks with 54,000 gallons to either South Sanitation or to Kettleman? It is going to be phenomenal. And like I said on June 25th, this town cannot afford to run this project. We can't even afford what it's costing now. But that's to be, I just want to be realistic. I did not give the correct information based on what it was able to actually produce. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dickinson. Who would the next speaker be, Haley?
I received a public comment from Christine Heinrichs on July 1st, so let me see if she would like to read that.
All right, thank you.
Christine, would you like to make a public comment?
Sure, this is actually about item 6G, which is on the consent agenda, but I'm happy to do it now if that works for you. That's coming right up.
I think okay, we'll wait probably until consent.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Haley. So is Julie Amade, does she wish to make a comment? Public comment? I see she has her hand up.
Can you hear me?
We can, go right ahead.
Fantastic, thank you so much. I appreciate your time and consideration, President Farmer and Board. We are so thrilled to have Cyrus, who was able to at least bring a student voice to our call today. Obviously, the skate park is front and center. It's pulling on our heartstring because it is a child's activity that, in my personal opinion, has been taken from this community without proper public notice. Every activity that shows healthy living, in my personal opinion as well, again, is something that should be considered very, very, very carefully when it is taken away. And personally, I have 2 children. One who's just graduated from Coast Union High School as a senior, and one to be a sophomore. And as we've gone into COVID, we've all learned especially yesterday, that there'll be no sports, not only through the end of this year, but potentially through next year. One more activity that is not available for our kids. So I ask for complete consideration as we go about this publicly, the right way to bring to your attention the need for this particular park to be put back in place, and with consideration what the right way to go about doing that is. We have parents that have obviously formed a committee. We have children involved in the voice of that committee, and we are very carefully asking you for your consideration as we bring those public voices to your attention. We want the park back.
All right. Well, Julie, thank you so very much. And I see also in the audience is David. Is that your son? Julie? All right. So do we have any further public comments, Haley?
I do not have any other public comment at this time.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for everybody that spoke or sent in a written comment. So let's move on to consent agenda. And Christine, you wish to make a comment on which item was it? 6G?
Yes, if I may. Thank you. I asked the board to evaluate the grant application for two electric vehicle charging stations, but defer it until other financial needs have been met. The request for $43,000 for two electric vehicle charging stations should be denied. The Finance Committee mustered only a 3-2 vote to recommend this. I'd like to hear from the members who voted against this. Cambria has more pressing needs than electric vehicle charging. The district's main missions are to provide water, wastewater, and fire protection. Electric vehicle charging could be addressed by the Tourism Board or other community organizations. Caltrans has plans for electric vehicle charging stations along Highway 1. The district is finding money for raises for administrative employees today, but declines to allocate money to pay for a forest manager to improve the health and safety of the Monterey Pine Forest. It's the board's priorities that I question. Spend that money on the deferred maintenance to the Vetzel or on the skate park rather than charging stations out front. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine. So let me just ask, following up on Ms. Heinrich's comment, would anyone wish to pull this item from consent for further discussion? Anyone on the board?
President Farmer, yes. I actually would like to pull this and item D.
Okay, we will do that.
Thank D. Thank you. D as in dog, okay. Yeah.
All right. Anyone else have any thoughts on the consent agenda, items on the consent agenda? Now I see Elizabeth Bettenhausen has her hand raised. Did she wish to make a public comment on the consent agenda, Haley?
Yes, she did. And then I also have two public comments to read after that.
All right. Well, Elizabeth, go ahead and unmute yourself and go right ahead and speak.
Thank you very much, President Farmer. I want to speak on one item on the minutes of 25 June 2020. And before I make that comment, I want to say that I've sent to the general manager and to the whole board my high commendation of the work that Haley Dodson is doing for the CCSD. I think she is one of the most amazing gifts to this community that we have had. My comments regarding the agenda item 4B in the minutes of 25 June, as you recall, no doubt, it was the, quote, discussion regarding the coastal development permit progress and draft project description for the sustainable water facility, end quote. Many people in the minutes were listed as, quote, in support of the CDP. And the deputy district clerk read the written comment into the record. Other people, including me, were described as not in support of the CDP, end quote. My written public comments, which I requested be part of the public record of the meeting and had sent to you earlier, and my oral comments both address the agenda item. That is, The draft project description was the only thing under your discussion, apparently. I was not taking a position on CDP and never did. And I still haven't taken a position on CDP because I've not seen the completed application. The minutes should accurately specify the agenda item being addressed by the public. And by the way, I'm really fascinated to see that now your minutes are always going to list all of us who speak public comment and what position we've taken on whatever item. So I anticipate my participation in your minutes will be amplified in the future. The minutes state, the board of directors reached consensus to address this particular situation at another special meeting when the document is more specific in areas where it's lacking at this time, end of quotation, regarding your action on this item at the meeting. When someone asked me what the board decided at the meeting about the water plant, I read, send, or post this sentence that I just read. The response, no, I want to know what they decided. So the minutes are accurate here. They state exactly what conclusion you came to, namely a very strange, vague consensus on something or other. I hope, dear board, dedicated public servants that you are, that you post this sentence from your action on this agenda item on the 25th of June, 2020, on your bathroom mirror and read it daily as you brush your teeth. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Bettenhausen. Do we have any other comments on consent agenda?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes, I do have two written comments to read. They're both on the charging station, so would you like me to read those now?
Well, I believe that Director Rice has to pull this from consent. So why don't we read those comments when we address that item?
Will do. And then I also wanted to make a correction to the June 25th minutes. I failed to add that Tina Dickinson and Elizabeth Bettenhausen had submitted written comments for the record. So I would like to add that in to the minutes as amended.
Okay.
President Farmer?
Yes, Director Rice.
Based on the comment of Dr. Bettenhausen, if it wouldn't be a problem, I would like to pull the minutes for the June 25th meeting because I tend to agree it's very vague what the action taken is and it doesn't match what my memory is and it's not that many days ago. So if it's agreeable to the rest of the board.
Actually, the comment that I had made earlier about the item on the consent agenda was specific to that. And I agree that the one sentence that's there does not describe in reference to what I believe was the position, and I've gone back and listened to it again also. I do have a suggestion that we eliminate that individual sentence. And if you feel that it's appropriate to replace it with any kind of description, I do have something that I had put together that was a reference to what I believe had occurred and that I had validated by going back and listening to the meeting minutes myself. And I can read it out to you, but I asked Haley to actually present the wording specifically for you to be able to view so there wouldn't be any question about what it is. So
can I make a suggestion? Maybe we pull the minutes for that meeting and have it come back in August so we can get it corrected appropriately. I appreciate that you went back and listened to it and put some language together. And I wouldn't object to it as long as the rest of the board's okay with it.
Well, is it worth at least listening to?
Yes, I want to hear it.
Okay. Rather than that individual sentence, the sentence before it says, the board of directors held an extensive discussion regarding this item. In replacing that following sentence, my suggestion would be, discussion determined that plant operational parameters cannot be defined until identified studies are completed. A consensus of directors offered no revision to the project description areas prior to submittal of the updated SWF CDB project description to county planning. The following sentence after that addressed the operational parameters and reviews of information. This isn't a part of the statement, sorry. It was just those two sentences, but that follow-on sentence actually addresses the feedback of information relative to operational parameters moving forward and feedback on the studies as they're completed. So my suggestion is the two sentences. Haley, do you by chance have that available to show? Thank you. So my suggestion is that singular sentence be eliminated and replaced with these two sentences.
It's agreeable with me. How does the rest of the board feel about it?
I would agree.
I'd like to see this item pulled and brought back. There are some other issues because these minutes are our official record. Once these tapes disappear, the minutes will be all that's left. So it's important to be accurate. And I would like to the opportunity to, with Director Steidel's sentence, I would like to go back to that meeting and verify that does accurately describe it. Also, I would suggest that it's a little dangerous, and this is the first time, and it is not according to our bylaws, to indicate what the public commenters actually, what their position was. I don't see a problem with this, so we have to be very careful that if we're stating what a public comment said, we have to be sure it's accurate. Because again, this is the permanent record that will last forever. So
yeah, I would agree with Director Howell here that we need to not do that in the future. Indicate how many people were for or against. And we heard their comments, and I think they were well taken. And I don't think we need to have a scorecard at all. Thank you.
I agree also.
Yeah, although this isn't really a criticism of Haley. I mean, it's kind of when we have that much input, it was nice to get a tabulation, I have to say. But again, maybe as an informal tabulation and not part of our permanent record. And if we did have a tabulation, that would be the other thing. It should be not for or against the CDP, but rather the project description, if we were to continue with that. That's in terms of what Ms. Bettenhausen said. So anyway, I would like this pulled also and brought back next month.
So can we just pull item B so that we can approve the other minutes for item B?
Yes.
And take action on that? So I would move adoption of item consent agenda item B, adopting the June 11th, 2020, June 18th regular meeting minutes, and June 25th, 2020. Oh no, sorry, and June 30th special meetings. So just three of those: the June 11th, 18th, and 30th.
Cross out the 25th. Okay.
Is that motion?
You made a motion. Do we need we need a second and a vote on that?
I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we do. Yeah.
How would second?
Okay.
All right. So Ms. Rice made that motion and Director Pearson has seconded. Haley, would you call the roll, please?
Director Rice?
Aye.
Director Pearson?
Aye.
Director Howell?
Aye.
Vice President Steidel?
Aye.
President Farmer?
Aye. And I just want to make a comment that And this is, like we said earlier, no reflection on Haley, but these minutes do not really reflect, let's say, the energy and the totality of what took place at that meeting. And we probably need something a little bit more complete, a little bit more sufficient with regard to what took place with regard to not just public comment, but comments made or not made by the board. So are there any other? Yes, go right ahead, Director Rice.
I was going to move approval of consent agenda item A, C, E, and F.
Again, I would second that.
Okay, I just want to ask, I just have one inquiry that I didn't, General Manager Weigel wasn't able to get back to me on. And this is just something in the expenditure report, and he and I discussed this earlier in the week. On page 16, with regard to facilities and resources and the purchase of the dust collector, were you able to find out anything further on that, Mr. Weigel?
I have Carlos standing by to answer that question.
Okay. Well, perhaps he can do that in his report. Carlos, are you going to be giving a report later on in the meeting?
Yeah, if you want me to do it later, I'll be glad to do it then.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So can we now...
roll call vote?
Roll call vote on the consent agenda.
Director Rice?
Aye.
Director Pearson?
Aye.
Director Howell?
Aye.
Vice President Seidel?
Aye.
President Farmer?
Aye. So, Director Rice, you asked to pull items D and G. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, let's go ahead and address item D.
So I made this request before, and I'd just like to find out how the other directors feel. With the number of cases increasing, perhaps this continuing resolution approval needs to not be on consent so that we can get a more detailed update. And it can either come, I mean, the fire department gave a great has been giving good updates on the COVID, so maybe it gets folded in there rather than General Manager Weigold's report. But I'd like to see it off of the consent agenda as things seem to be ramping up so that we can get a more clear update to the community of what's happening here in Cambria, at least what we know. I know there's a lot that's not there, but I don't know if any of the rest of the board has an interest in that, taking it off consent and getting a more full report. So I wanted to get an idea of how you guys feel about it.
Well, if I'm, let me just, well, first off, do any of the other board members have a comment on what Director Rice has just said?
Well, in response to her request, I don't know that whatever the status is would change our extending the adoption of the resolution. It's for information purposes, and it seems perhaps that it's something that should be in the fire chief's report or another function that falls out from review of staff information. But the idea of adopting or not adopting a continuation of the COVID, I don't think is incumbent upon knowing how many cases there have been.
If I might, President Farmer?
Go right ahead.
I completely get that. I also know that this is a community that is looking to leaders just like every community is to speak to the urgency of the kinds of actions that need to be taken and such. When we first did this resolution, and maybe Mr. Carmel can enlighten me as to why we didn't, why we're doing it every single meeting rather than have it be ongoing until the declaration of emergency by the governor has been lifted or some other point. Now that we're a few months further into the situation, maybe Mr. Carmel can address that, because I agree with you, Director Steidel, Vice President Steidel, that having informational reports is important, and we can definitely get them from the fire department, fire chief. But this seems like if we're going to put it on every single agenda, it seems like, I don't know. If I'm the only one, I'm the only one, and we can keep it on consent. I just was curious how the rest of the board felt about it.
I'd like to weigh in on that, if I may, Mr. President.
Go right ahead, Director Hall.
Thank you. I understand Director Rice's point here, which is that, yes, I think bringing this forward every month at least is probably a good idea. However, because the rules of order, we really are not supposed to be discussing the items on the consent agenda, and we should pull them if we're going to talk about them. I think that in this case, if Director Rice feels that what is going to happen is she's going to be pulling this off of every consent agenda that it occurs on, so which is certainly a director's privilege. So I would say that to keep things simpler and possibly also to alert the community, I think that it should be a separate agenda item, and it should come up monthly, because there are issues where eventually the public may wish to engage us on this matter. And if we don't have it agendized at some level, we won't be able to act upon it in a timely fashion. So I'm definitely for keeping this on our agendas, but not on the consent agenda.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, excuse me, Director Hall, this is the first time that it's been on consent. Mm-hmm. It has in the past been a regular agenda item. Mm-mm. And am I wrong?
It's been on consent before.
Okay.
My error. So we will do that in the future, especially, and I was mentioning earlier about not only have we had a rapid rise in our county, and I believe Cambria is up to now 9 cases in our community, whereas we were below 5 for the large portion of the declaration of the pandemic. But the governor has stated that our county is now one of the counties that needs to get back to more stringent observation of the rules like masks and also businesses that can't function right now. So it's getting a little bit more problematic in our county. And so perhaps that should, be reflected in just having a slightly further discussion each time that this comes up before the board. So thank you.
President
Yes, Vice President Steidel.
I just wanted to check with Mr. Carmel, because I'm frankly trying to remember why it was that we had to initiate this 2-week cycle, and I remember it being associated with something, and that was why it was happening.
The original resolution where the emergency was declared, a provision was included that it be on every agenda for every special and regular meeting until it's terminated.
Okay.
I believe Director Rice is the one that actually asked for that inclusion.
Okay, so that in essence is why we're not putting forward, or can we put forward a revision to that resolution that says that we'll extend it for whatever period of time there is, and then have the discussion points about the current status be part of the staff report functions.
We could amend that resolution to specify whatever the board wanted.
Okay. So that's just an option to consider. Thank you, Mr. Carmel.
And I'll take it. I don't have a problem with the president, vice president, and general manager working on how to present the information during the meeting. I don't have anything specific that it has to be during this But I do want to make sure that we give out the information, because I know there was effort, there were efforts that Steve did, that Steve undertook, and that the board undertook when we were, before we took down the skate park, to try and find out if we could find somebody that was interested. But clearly we didn't communicate often enough in enough places. So just the same with this, the more times we communicate with the public to tell them what's happening, the more likely we are to get more people actually hearing those words. So I would move approval of consent agenda item D.
I'll second that.
All right. So approved and seconded by, the motion was made and seconded by Directors Rice and Howell. So Haley, would you make a roll call vote, please?
Sure. Director Rice?
Aye.
Director Howell?
Aye.
Director Pearson?
Aye.
Vice President Seidel?
Aye.
President Farmer?
Aye. General Manager Weigel, you had your hand up for a moment. Did you wish to make a comment?
I did. Thank you. On the pandemic, I just wanted to let the board know I feel very uncomfortable providing information on the status of the COVID-19 because that's health department related at the county level. And while we have an emergency services area, we could only really comment on its impact to operations here. I wouldn't want to be the be perceived as putting forth health related information that we don't have expertise with in the district for.
President Farmer, if I might. I understand, Mr. Weigold, and I too would be concerned. You do have some information the rest of the community doesn't, because if I'm not mistaken, you're attending regular conference call type meetings with other leaders in other agencies, including our local health department. Is that the case?
It is, but the meetings are literally 4 to 5 minutes long. Some of the information is confidential, unreleasable by us as a CCSD.
Did you want to follow up? Did someone want to follow up on Mr. Weigold's comment, Director Rice? No? Okay. All right. So I believe we've, I'm not mistaken, just approved item D on the consent agenda. And I believe we also pulled at Director Rice's suggestion, item G. So why don't, and I believe, if I remember correctly, Ms. Heinrich, Christine Heinrich, and comment on the consent agenda. Already has remarked on this item. So let's go ahead and at the request of Director Rice, discuss agenda item 6G. So General Manager Weigel, could you go ahead and address this item, please?
Yes, President Farmer. Agenda item 6G is consideration of approval of grant applications for electric vehicle charging stations. Staff is recommending that the Board of Directors approve the grant applications submitted for two electric vehicle charging stations. Background on this is that the district has already applied for these applications, and we're solely under district guidelines. We were supposed to do that, ask the board permission before we apply. Before the deadline, and so this consideration is not for installation of electric vehicle charging stations. It is solely to apply for a grant.
So I think what you're saying is, well, it's obvious what you're saying. This is not approved the building of these electric charging stations, but just approve making the grant application. And I know that Ms. Heinrich is concerned that we'll be spending money on this when there are other areas of, as she was going to say, more importance to be spending district and ratepayers' money. But at this point, that's not what we're doing.
That's correct. This is just to apply for an application.
Right. Application. So, Director Rice, you requested pulling this, so you must have at least a comment or two to make.
I do. First, there's a reason we put the grant policy in place to get approval from the board ahead of putting in all the work that goes into applying for grants, because as anyone who can see the agenda item, it's not a small amount of work that goes into these things. And often there are matching funds required, which the board is also responsible for figuring out how we're going to budget for those matching funds. This also includes $10,000 from our general fund. That's a heck of a lot of money toward a skate park or a forest manager or anything else. I appreciate the general manager is seeking revenue sources. This is, I think, though, that this is taking it in the wrong direction. And I was pleasantly surprised to hear Ms. Heinrichs state that there's no reason the tourism board or the Chamber of Commerce couldn't be taking a project like this on rather than the CCSD. I'm also concerned that maybe it's not within our set of authorities that are approved by LAFCO. So I will be voting no on this at this time. And I urge the general manager to keep in mind that it's not nothing that we would have to match 40% plus the permitting costs. So, and I don't know how long the payback would be. So there's no fiscal impact about how long it would take to earn the money back that we put into building these. So I appreciate that the general manager is looking at ways to improve our revenue situation, but I do not support this at this time.
Vice President Steidel, you wish to make a comment?
Well, it was just that, and I appreciate the perspective that Director Rice has brought to it. The only thing I guess I wanted to add to that, in addition to the fact that I agree with the things that she said, but this isn't a commitment of monies by the district. And if for some reason we were fortunate enough to either win the 100% grant or the one that was a cost share grant, it would have to come back to the board to consider it for any kind of funds application and be voted on by the board. So it isn't as though it's just going to disappear into some dark hole someplace.
I understood. Part of that is keeping our position and reputation with the grant making agencies, because if we've already got the application in, if they award it to us and then we turn it down, that looks kind of bad unless we have a good rationale for doing that just a few months after applying for it. Whereas if we withdraw our application, that's a different message that we're sending to the agencies that we've applied for the grants with. Now, if we don't get the grants, it doesn't make a difference one way or the other. But if it is awarded to us and then the board decided to not provide the matching funds, that doesn't make the district look very good. So that's kind of the additional rationale that I was thinking. It also says on here that the permitting and construction must not be included in the grant because it's a separate $10,000 line. Unless I misunderstand the way the report's written.
Director Pearson, you have your hand up.
Yes, President Farmer. I appreciate Director Rice's comments. I think that there's two things here for me. One is we don't want to be turning down grants. So if we got the grant and then it came before the board and we decided we didn't want to fund it, we'd have to turn down a grant. And I don't think we want to start having a reputation for doing that. We've already turned down a couple of grants before that we had that we could do. The other one is the LAFCO thing, whether we're allowed to even have these things or not. Does council have an opinion on this, or can we get a written opinion from LAFCO as to whether this would be something that we could be allowed to do? Or thank you.
We can certainly get an opinion from LAFCO. I don't think this is a LAFCO issue. I don't think this is considered a power, although it does relate to power. But we can certainly pursue that if it moves forward.
General Manager Weigel, do you want to weigh in on you know, this doesn't seem to be in our purview necessarily, but I'm thinking that we ought to get some kind of clearance before we go charging ahead on this one.
Yeah, I thought we covered this under transportation services.
And we have transportation services?
Yes,
we do.
Okay.
President Farmer, it seemed that Ms. Duffield had her hand up there for a bit of time. I don't know whether she has something she wanted to say.
No, I'm sorry, I didn't even notice that. Ms. Duffield, did you wish to say something before I go to Director Howell?
Thank you, President Farmer. I just wanted to point out that we did pose that question with David Church of LAFCO, because I had the same question when the whole grant process and charging stations was brought up, if it was a component of our latent power. So General Manager Weigel answered the question, but I was going to also chime in. That was all.
Okay.
Thank you. Director Howell?
Oh, thank you. I'm unmuted. Yeah, thank you. I was a question regarding the LAFCO issue. I'm glad to get some clarification on that. I have to, first of all, so that my remarks won't be mistaken, when this was first presented to me and when it first came across to my attention, I was actually rather pleased with the idea, you know, and I was definitely in favor of this. I think General Manager Weigold and I talked a little about this early on as he was considering his ideas. And I have to say, I really do appreciate the two things, that the originality, the looking, hate to be trite, but to be looking outside the box. I really appreciate the creative approach to some of our problems. However, having thought further, as I've had a little more time to let this percolate, there are two issues as I see that. One, which perhaps Mr. Carmel can answer, or maybe it's something which we have to explore in greater detail, is if we were to do this, would we then be restricted to charging the users only what it costs for us to produce, plus perhaps some additional infrastructure costs? In other words, would it really be an additional source of revenue? Is that really realistic, considering the restrictions under which we have to operate? Let me do both things, and then I'll shut up. But the other issue, which is, I think, in some respects more important, and this has to do with, we really, really must get used to following our own rules. It's the one thing which, in fact, we've been caught on before. Previous boards have been criticized for playing hard and fast with their rules. It's too easy for us to say, gee, it's just too much trouble to follow whatever it is. I would suggest that if we have rules that we no longer wish to follow, that we change them and we do it in a public forum. Right now, our policy does require that staff come to the board asking permission to apply for grants that require matching funds. I would even go so far as if I had, I'd say, anything that would require overhead or any additional costs to the district, especially those that are not budgeted, should by all means come before the board. I understand that sometimes it's necessary to move quickly in order to, because of an opportunity that's going to go away. But I think we really have to be very careful in this area. So I would, even if it turns out that this would be a good source of income, and even if it turns out that we actually have some slosh in our budget to account to pay for the additional matching funds, I would still vote against this because I think it's supremely important that we follow our own procedures. So I will be voting against this, but it isn't, as I said, there are many good aspects to it, and it isn't that if we can get some clarity as to the possibility of additional income, I think that's something I would certainly like to hear. Thank you. I'm done.
Thank you, Director Hall. We have two members of the public who wish to speak on this item. Crosby and Laura.
Mr. Carmel has his hand up.
President Farmer,
excuse me.
I just wanted to answer Director Howell's question. No, under Proposition 26, we can only charge the cost of the service provided. This could not be a source of profit, so to speak. So I wanted to clarify that.
Thank you. All right. Crosby or Laura Schwartz, go right ahead. You wish to comment?
Tina, go ahead and unmute yourself.
This is Tina, not Crosby. Hello? Can you hear me, President Farmer?
I can hear you, Tina.
All right. I've had my hand on two different occasions, two different items, and I haven't been able to speak. But what I want to say regarding the, I need to get this in on this item of repeating every meeting the issue regarding the COVID. First of all, I don't know if any of you are aware, and certainly I would think Mr. Carmel is aware, that special districts are ineligible for direct federal financial funds under the COVID Act, COVID Special Cares Act. And John Garamendi is trying to change that with legislation to provide assistance to special districts. But if the purpose of it being on, which I suspected from the beginning, was this every single meeting, was that we would be assured of receiving maybe some federal funding for COVID issues, we are not even eligible as a special district. So, I mean, just Google it. And I've been reading about it in the papers as well. So I would think that legal counsel would be aware of this. It is coming up under in your legislation federally. So I don't know where it's going to go, but why we keep doing this when we're not even eligible for funding, if it's just merely because you're expecting to get some money, which is what I suspect was the reason initially. You're not even eligible. So that's what I wanted to say regarding that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dickerson. So would Mr. Carmel or Mr. Weigel wish to comment on what Tina just said?
Certainly.
Go ahead, Tim.
Well, the original purpose of this was to do two things, was to make us eligible, potentially eligible down the line for reimbursement for the COVID-related costs, and also to add additional powers to the general manager during the COVID crisis. It had two purposes. That has nothing to do with why it's on the agenda repeatedly. We could have left it there. We declared an emergency, but it was requested that this be on every agenda to continue the emergency. It doesn't have to be there. It's there because the original resolution included a provision saying we would have to readdress the issue at every meeting. That can be amended. That has nothing to do with funding.
And let me just address the funding issue. So we are in discussions with the county for reimbursement of all our expenses with the fire department currently. Pam's leading that effort with FEMA.
All right. Well, thank you for those comments. Director, Vice President Steidel, did you wish to say something?
No. Did I have my hand up?
No, I just saw your face on the screen. Thank you.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, Farmer, I do have two written comments to read, and I also have another member of the public that wishes to speak, and I believe Christine Heinrichs might also want to speak as well.
Okay, go right ahead, Haley.
I'll bring in Crosby or Lauren Schwartz.
Yeah, I called on them earlier, but they weren't available at that moment. So, thank Crosby or Laura, right ahead.
We're here. Thank you, President Farmer and members of the board. I just have a comment on the revenue possibilities of the electric vehicle charging station. One thing you need to keep in mind is there's going to be competition for charging stations. There's already quite a number of businesses in town that have charging stations. They're mainly hotels that provide them as a service to their guests, but that takes away potential customers from the district's charging station. For example, the Cambria Pines Lodge has a nice charging station, El Calibri. A number of hotels in town already have charging stations. And then there's, of course, a big charging station up at Hearst Castle, a couple in San Simeon, and at least one down in Morro Bay. If you're interested in looking at this, there's a website called www.plugshare.com that shows you where all the charging stations are and what their capabilities are. Either J1772 or Tesla is the way they usually break it down. And you may not even be developing enough revenue to break even, actually. If all the hotels in town have their own charging stations, and some of which are open to the public, actually, it's not a surefire revenue source, is my comment. So thank you.
Thank you, Crosby. And I think as our legal counsel, Mr. Carmel, just pointed out, we can't really use these charging stations as a source of revenue. Haley, did you have someone other than Christine that wanted to comment on this? I know she's already done that before.
Let me see. Christine, are you wanting to speak on this item?
No, thanks. I said what I have to say. Thank you.
So I do have two public comments to read. The first one is from Mel McCulloch. I am Mel McCulloch, president of the Cambria Chamber of Commerce. I am representing our 250 members and supporting the approval of the charging stations that are being discussed at the board meeting today. Thank you, Mel. The second public comment is from Cheryl McDowell. Hello, board. Grant application for electric vehicle charging stations estimate usage states 4,000 vehicles. I don't believe we have 4,000 vehicles, period, visiting Cambria in 1 year. As I previously stated, numerous hotels on Moonstone Beach Drive and other tourist locations have this service. Bridge Street next to the cafe, not the church side, as Mr. Weigold previously stated, has a UV station for $5 donation for public usage. The application itself, as written, is bogus. Please stick to the issues at hand, water and sewer. Thank you, Cheryl McDowell.
Thank you, Haley. Let's open this up for a further board discussion. Anyone on the board wish to make any comments? Any further comments?
Yes, I would like to. May I?
Go right ahead.
Thank you.
Sure, go right ahead.
This is actually just a really more of a question to Mr. Carmel and possibly putting an idea in Mr. Weigel's mind. Would I be correct in assuming that it would be all right for the district to, say, rent some of its space to somebody else that would put up a charging station? As for example, could we rent a certain section, lease a certain section of our parking lot at the Vets Hall? And could we perhaps lease a portion of our roof for solar. Thank you. So, and that would be a source of income if we were permitted to do that. So I just wanted to throw that out there into the mix. Not that there's anything we can do today about it.
I'd be glad to answer that. Yes, we would be able to lease a portion of our parking lot or another facility.
Director Pearson, you wish to make a comment?
Yes, I do. I'm going to go ahead and vote for this since we've already made the applications and everything, but I'm wondering whether we'll approve the money if we do get the grants in any case. But I'm going to vote for it only under the caveat that at our next regular meeting, we have a discussion on how we go about grants. And we either decide to abide by the rules, as Director Howell said, or we change the rules. And I'd like that as a caveat to my affirmative vote on this.
I'll second the motion.
All right. Well, before we take a roll call vote on this, I would just like to make a comment. I don't know, maybe it's because I'm just idealistic, but see, my thought was, we'll just have these charging stations here in town for the benefit of either folks that are visiting here, because that's what our town is about. For the most part, it's where people come to recreate and to get away from a place that isn't as nice as this one. And so it never dawned on me that maybe the main reason for doing this initially was to gain revenue for the district. As Mr. Carmel just commented on a few minutes ago, we really can't do that. One of the directors, I don't recall who it was, my apologies for that, and Mel McCullough, of course, said in that very brief comment, perhaps this should maybe be under the purview of the Chamber of Commerce and the Cambria Tourism Board, since this is about serving the tourists that come through our community. So perhaps this should be something that they should be paying more attention to than the Community Services District, which, as Ms. McDowell pointed out, were essentially water and sewer and, to some degree, fire. That's my comment. Vice President Seidel, you wish to make a further comment?
Well, there are two things. I'm not sure whether we had a motion. We had a second, but I'm not sure whether Director Pearson actually had made a motion. He was just speaking to the fact that he would support that, but I could be mistaken. The other thing is that we've just spent an extraordinary amount of time beating this to death. And it's something that has no financial impact to us. We have things we could be discussing that do have an impact and have a much broader base impact to the community that we can't get to because all that's happening is a bunch of squabbling back and forth. So my question is, should we just ask to withdraw the applications and put this to bed, let it go, just move on, but take the action that Director Pearson had requested to review the policy. Let's just kill this.
General Manager Weigold?
Yes, President Farmer. So I just wanted to put a last comment in there. This, again, I just want to remind the board that this is just for application of the grant. The next step, if we even get the grant, will be whether or not we fund it. I'm not suggesting that we fund the whole thing or even the part that's not funded, because there are other options there, including organizations like the Tourism Board. We haven't gone forward yet to even get to that point, because there's no point in it unless we learn that we can get a grant to partially fund this.
All right. Thank you, General Manager Weigold. Director Howell, did you wish to make a brief comment?
Yes. Well, first of all, one reason for bringing this to the board before starting the application process would be to avoid frustration, at the very least, if the board chooses to not go forward with what staff members may have been diligently working at. And that is concerning, because it bothers me at this point to see the work go to no end. But this is, again, a good reason for why we need to really observe the policy that we have. My question really is, what is the motion that we're voting on?
I seconded. I thought that Director Pearson had moved approval, but I misunderstood his comment. I was trying to move us off the item, really.
Thank you. And I think I don't mean to speak for Director Pearson, but I think he said that he seconded this with the thought that at our August meeting that we would discuss grants and how we go about making grants and obtaining grant funding. I hope I'm not misrepresenting you, Director Pearson.
No, not at all. We have a grant policy, I believe, and I think we need to look at that in detail in August. And I don't remember making a motion, but I will make a motion to approve this item, and we can have a vote because Director Rice already seconded my motion.
Sorry, inverse.
May I offer an amendment, please?
Yes.
I'd like to amend the motion to say the district's grant policy will appear on an August agenda.
Yes,
I agree with that.
This is not a choice; it's required. Okay, yes. And it's the grant policy. It's not a bunch of feel good about how we're going to do this. It's our actual policy that we need to be looking at.
I agree with that amendment.
Okay, thank you.
So let's just say, even if this agenda item is voted against, we're still going to be addressing our policy on grants in August. So, anyway, Haley, can we go ahead and have a roll call vote on this? Half hour ago was a consent agenda item, and it's good to, you know what? I think this is a really healthy discussion. So go right ahead, Haley.
Director Pearson?
Aye.
Director Rice?
No.
Director Howell?
Aye.
Vice President Seidel?
Aye.
President Farmer?
No. All right.
So the motion passes, right?
Yes.
It appears that way. So we're moving on to regular business. And I know this seems kind of weird. Let's just try and do regular business, and then we'll take a short break. So moving on to item 7A, and General Manager Weigold, would you wish to introduce this item, please?
Yes, President Farmer. Agenda item 7A is discussion and consideration of designation of public forum on district property and reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions. Staff is recommending that the Board of Directors review the staff report and continue its consideration of creating a designated public forum on district property.
I believe Mr. Carmel might have further comments on this before we move on to maybe public comment or board comment.
Thank you, President Farmer. I don't have much to say, except that if the board does determine it wants to pursue a designated public forum, that you direct staff to bring back a resolution that clearly delineates the public forum and delineates any restrictions you're going to place on it so that there's real clarity on the issue.
All right. Thank you. Director Pearson, you have your hand up?
Yes, I'd like to address this one. I think we are going down a slippery slope here. I really don't think this is necessary at all. I think the board should admonish the general manager for taking down the signs that he did take down, and direct him never to do so again, unless he brings to the board a reason based upon a Supreme Court decision that it should be taking them down, and we be done with this one. I don't know whether we need a motion on this one or not, but if there is a motion, I make a motion that we do not do anything about this.
I would second that.
Well, I know Director Rice has some strong feelings on this. Amanda, did you wish to make a comment?
So I do agree with, I think it's important that we take a strong stand that this not happen again. I'm not sure how that helps the GM if somebody else posts something there as to what should happen, which was kind of my intention in trying to have something like this on the agenda. And I understand it's a larger issue. If this does happen, I would go along with Director Pearson's position, subject to if it were to happen again, not the taking down, but the putting up, then maybe it is something that the board needs to consider, because I do feel very strongly about protecting free speech. And as a government agency, we have to allow for free speech, whether we like what's being said or not, what's being printed or not. And the answer to somebody posting something that you don't like is not to stop them from posting. It's posting your own opinion about whatever the topic is. It's more free speech is the response, not less free speech. And I'm not terribly worried that there's going to be some heinous things posted, because I believe this town is full of people that are not hateful people, and that for the most part are clear thinking, and even when their political views don't agree with mine, generally have thought through their positions on things.
Thank you, Director Rice. Vice President?
If as a board we can agree that we direct staff to not immediately take something else down, if something else does go up, maybe we make a threshold of, I don't know, I don't even know that we could put a threshold. So something else does go up, then I think the board needs to address it, because I think having a public forum that creates discussion and possible solutions to issues that have been coming up more and more frequently these days. I don't want to see this happen again. And I think that public property is public, which means that the public should have a stake in wanting it to look nice. And the public should also have a stake in whether or not they post things at all. So I do feel strongly, but I also think that a single incident isn't necessarily a reason to put district council to work on a resolution with a lot of detailed guidelines on posting.
Vice President Seidel, you're next.
Well, I guess I will want to hear the motion again, because I don't think that that's what was being suggested, although I do. I think the issue is the fact that we're talking about, granted it's public property by right, but it also is something that is and it has to be maintained by CCSD. And by being maintained, that means that we're put in a position if there is no limitation on anything that anyone can post on any CCSD property, that I think you can see how that could be a difficulty, especially to try to segregate one position from another of where something could be posted. There are many other places within the community that postings can take place. People can post on their own properties. There's no restriction in terms of freedom of speech. There are people that are out on the Peace Corner multiple times during the week actually doing just that. So the idea that somehow not allowing posting of items on CCSD property is somehow curtailing freedom of speech, I can't quite make that leap. And although I agree with Director Rice in terms of her characterization of the people in this town, I made this statement before and it was misread by a few individuals that I said that, after all, we are a tourist destination. And I didn't mean that in terms of we shouldn't have it and to suppress things to show any voice to those who might enter our town. What I was suggesting is that when things like that are posted, we're kind of insular in thinking that there aren't people who would come in from out of our own area, take exception to things that are posted, and then choose to do something about it, either by posting additionally things for themselves, which may not reflect the tenor of this community at all, or gathering other people to come here to be able to voice a very strong opinion. That's happened in other communities. And I think that the wonder of Cambria is that we are insular in some ways, but I think it also makes us naive into what the expectations are for people who come into our town. And that concerns me.
Perhaps through President Farmer, if I might.
Sure. Go right ahead, Director Rice.
Maybe I wasn't clear. I was saying that I agreed that we should admonish the GM for doing it. And I was saying that we don't need to set direction to legal counsel and the GM to create a resolution. What I'm hearing from Vice President Steidel is a prohibition, which we currently don't have. It was not in writing anyway, and we don't have anything necessarily anywhere that says that it's prohibited to post on our property. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Carmel. So what I am saying is that maybe it's not the time to do it with one incident, because one incident could be the only incident that we have in the next 10 years. But if it comes up again, then maybe it's time for the board to actually look at whether we do prohibit or allow. That's what I was trying to get across. Maybe that was understood. I don't know.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Director Howell, you wish to make a comment?
Thank you. Yeah, I think Director Rice, pardon me, I'm trying to get my hand down there. Director Rice kind of said it. I mean, we could do nothing now, and there's no harm, no foul in that sense. This incident is passed. However, if it is in fact the case that we have no policy regarding posting on district property, and certainly no written policy, if all we have is tradition, that doesn't give us any... Here's what I'm trying to say is, if we do nothing now, and I'm not saying that we should do something now, but if we do nothing now, and this happens again, we will be faced with the very, very same problem. Actually, it'll be a little worse, because we'll have something that we want to have taken down that is sitting up there, and then we're going to have to decide that we don't like it and that it's not within whatever guidelines we choose to make. And that is kind of, I think, if this... Maybe this is not the meeting at which to discuss this, but I don't know that it's wise for us to wait until it happens again, because I think that's going to be even more difficult. This would especially be true if something gets posted up there which is particularly obnoxious. So while on one hand I am agreeable that I think maybe this whole thing should be tabled. In fact, I think I will move to table this to indefinitely. And at some other point, when it seems appropriate, I will probably move to take it off the table. But that would be my approach on this, because I do think that it is dangerous to wait too long, because this is a discussion. If we have to have something taken down, we will have to have a rationale for it. We can't just do it as council has already let, and it's been pretty clear that there's very, very few elements of speech that we could prohibit. So I would be very much, so I move that this be tabled to some future, just, I would like to table this item.
I would second that.
All right, well, before we take this to a vote, we have a member of the public wishes to speak, Tina Dickerson.
Course.
Thank you, President Farmer. I think it's really sad that our town has actually come to this point where we're more concerned again about the tourists that come into our town than the very people that live here. And you can throw your hands up, Director Steidel, but I have a right to speak. This is what this is about.
I apologize.
No, you can't interrupt me when I'm commenting. Learn the lessons. And so I'm going to agree with Director Howell. We absolutely do need a policy. I think what took place here was pretty horrific. Not what was done by the person who erected what they did, but the way that it was the way that it was addressed. And we do need a policy to make sure that it's not addressed in the same fashion again. And it could be, I mean, as you said, it could be something that could be really horrific. And then there's an action that needs to be taken. But if you guys are just not, if you're going to sit there and not do anything about it, shame on you. I absolutely believe this is very, very important. We're talking about First Amendment rights, for crying out loud. So do the right thing. Stand up for something. Stand up for the First Amendment. Please. Thank you.
It appears Vice President Steidel has taken a deep breath and wishes to make a comment.
Well, what I want to do is apologize to Ms. Dickinson. I felt that I had a reason for taking exception to what was being said, but I had no, there was no reason for me to say it at the time, and it's not something that I will pursue. So my apologies to Ms. Dickinson.
General Manager Weigold.
Yes, President Farmer. I just asked the board for at least some guidance on how to address, you know, some of the things that might happen in the district going forward until we have a policy. And I'm thinking of graffiti on the public restrooms inside, outside, things like that. Do you want me to just have everything stay up and then we'll meet and consider it after the fact, or
I don't think graffiti falls under the same. I mean, I know content isn't controllable, but isn't graffiti, maybe Mr. Carmel, isn't graffiti a separate, isn't that defacing property as opposed to posting signage?
I think there's a distinction there. Yes.
So
if there's graffiti on our restrooms, we take it down.
No matter what the content is.
Right.
So take my number down now.
All right. Well, we're having a good time, nevertheless.
Does that help, Mr. Weigold?
I think we're going on a slippery slope personally, but I think I'll work it out with the president and vice president going forward if we have issues.
Director Howell, you wish to make a comment again.
Thank you. At this point, I think my suggestion to the general manager is that until this comes up before us again, that these issues such as the graffiti or there are things which are questionable, that the general manager and council, not the rest of the board, the general manager and council should make a decision as to whether it's protected speech. And we should go by the decision that council makes on that regard until such time as we have had a chance to actually formulate policy on this. So consultation with the board isn't going to do it. It needs, because it's right. A simple question. Is it protected speech or is it not? A very, very so-called simple question with a very complicated answer.
Mm.
So we have a motion to table this, right?
Right.
I would call the question so that we can move forward.
I just want to make a highlight. I've just highlighted something on page 79, and I would imagine that Mr. Carmel has written this with regard to this item. We were not able to identify any other agencies that have designated an area of public property to allow the placement of signs in the manner being proposed for Cambria. I realize that's not necessarily exactly what we're talking about right now. We're talking more about the idea of freedom of speech and the posting of it. So right now we have, it seems like we have a motion and a second, Haley, with regard to tabling this item.
Okay.
So
Director
if you
Howell?
Could call the-
Director Pearson?
Aye.
Director Rice?
Aye.
Vice President Seidel?
Aye.
President Farmer?
Aye. Well, okay, so it's 3:55. Let's see if we can go through the next two regular business items in a rather rapid fashion. We'll take a short break and then hopefully be able, and we will finish the entire agenda today. Thank you so much. So let's move on to item 7B. And General Manager Weigel, would you introduce this, please?
Yes, President Farmer. Agenda item 7B is discussion and consideration of adoption of a resolution amending section 9.4 of the Board of Directors bylaws relating to board member participation in standing committee meetings. The staff recommends that the Board of Directors adopt a resolution amending Section 9.4 of the Board of Directors bylaws relating to board member participation in standing committee meetings.
So before we go to public comment, do any members of the board wish to remark on this item, or should I just take public comment and then bring it back to us? Seeing no comments from board members, Tina Dickerson, go right ahead.
Thank you, President Farmer. So, of course, on this item, as you are all aware, I was rather instrumental in bringing this to Mr. Carmel's attention and to the board and also to all of the standing committee members. So I reached out to the First Amendment Coalition to get further clarity. And I received a letter back. It took about 3 weeks from an attorney, Tom Kinzinger, and he said, "Dear Ms. Dickerson, Brian Cave Leighton Paisner, LLP, is general counsel for the First Amendment Coalition and responds to FAC hotline inquiries. In responding to these inquiries, we can give general information regarding open government and speech issues, but cannot provide specific legal advice or representation. No attorney-client relationship has been formed by way of this response." And in 1998, the California Attorney General issued an opinion link here addressing your question. Note that though Attorney General opinions are not in themselves binding authority, they are usually given great weight by California courts in the event they refer the same question. That said, the Attorney General placed particular emphasis on the fact the legislature chose the phrase, quote, "only as observers," end of quote, to state that members of a legislative body attending a standing committee's meeting must not participate in the proceedings. Quote, "We believe that the legislature, having used the word only in conjunction with the word as observers, intended to limit attendance in these circumstances to watching and listening without further participation. Those intending to qualify as observers under subdivision C6 of section 54952.2 must refrain from asking questions or making statements. Further, quote, to permit observers to testify and ask questions would let them fully participate in the deliberations of the standing committee, rendering virtually meaningless their restricted status as attending only as observers," end of quote. This is the statute that I asked Mr. Carmel to incorporate, and I asked the ad hoc committee, Mr. Director Howell and President Farmer, to include that government code into the bylaws. That way it is absolutely clear, because the Brown Act addresses standing committees within that portion of the government code. That is my request, that that government code, it be included, please, in the bylaws. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dickerson. Director Pearson, you wish to comment on Ms. Dickerson's comment?
No, I think that the work by the little ad hoc committee to get this bylaw taken care of was done properly. I understand Ms. Dickinson's wanting to add some stuff in there, but I don't think it's necessary. So I would like to move adoption of resolution amending section 9.4 of the Board of Directors bylaws relating to the board members' participation in standing committee meetings.
So do Director Howell, do we have a second?
I have
a,
yeah.
All right.
Director Howell wants to.
President Steidel, my mistake. Did you wish to make a second on this?
No, that's fine. I just.
Okay. I'm afraid I might have created a touch of confusion here. Did we have a second and I didn't hear it?
Well, I went to verbalize it, and Director Howell raised his hand and you recognized that. So it doesn't make any difference to me. Whoever wants to take the second is fine.
Okay. I'm assuming that Director Howell doesn't wish to make any further comment. Is that true, Director Howell? All right. Haley, would you call the roll?
President Farmer, I do have a comment. I've had my hand up for the entire time of this item.
Okay, well, I didn't see it on the screen. My apologies. Go right ahead.
I just want to say that when President Farmer and I worked on the bylaws this year, there was an item in here originally in the bylaws that disallowed directors attending any committee meetings that they were not the chair of the committee. And through our discussions, President Farmer did not think that that was something we needed to do. And I personally will not be attending any live meetings. I will be listening to recordings, because I find it very difficult personally as an individual to not chime in when I hear things that are wrong, when I hear things that are incomplete. And I still stand by the fact that we should really have something that says directors should not be live participating, should not be live observers. And I just won't be doing it, because I have a hard time not, as is evidenced at this very moment, not putting in my two cents on a particular item during a meeting. And evidenced also in the years before I was on the board, standing up at almost every item. I see. Thank you, Mr. Carmel. I see that laughter. I appreciate that. So I will be vote. I am supportive of this bylaw. I would support something stronger, but I am going to vote yes on this. I just would urge us to be very, very cautious.
Well, let me just say, Director Rice, I appreciate that. But two things. First off, you know, putting in your two cents, with the condition of the economy at this time, it's probably going to be at least a nickel or a dime. And also,
I don't have 2 cents.
and with regard to attending the meetings, I know I do, but I attend on my phone, and I am muted throughout the meeting. And it's simple as that. So even if I wanted to say something, which I don't, I'm unable to. But your point is taken with regard
I do have something really important, though. I don't think we get paid for those meetings, because it's not considered a day of service, because you're not actually participating. Is that correct?
Yes.
I'm seeing nodding. Okay.
Yeah, that's correct. We don't make anything. We don't get paid for attending a meeting other than what we're allowed to do.
Right. I just want to make it sure that it's clear to all the directors that that's the situation.
Good.
Well, it probably needs to be clear to the public more than anything else, so they know that we're not getting paid for like everything that we're doing.
so to speak.
May I ask?
All right.
President Farmer?
Yes, Director.
Director Rice raised an interesting point. Do we need, should we amend this to include that? Could I hear from Director Rice? Would you like us to amend this to include that statement that directors will not be paid for attending as attendees?
I don't think it's necessary right now, but when the bylaws come up in January, which since you're still for sure going to be on the board and so is Vice President Steidel, I think that we can carry that intent forward if it needs to be included.
Okay. Thanks.
So, Haley, I know you've been taking better track of this than I have. I believe we have a motion and a second to approve item 7B, correct?
Yes.
So go right ahead and do a roll call, please.
Director Pearson?
Aye.
Vice President Steidel?
Aye.
Director Howe? Director Rice?
Aye.
President Farmer?
Aye. Let's move on to item 7C. And General Manager Weigold and District Engineer Mr. D'Enzo, would one of you like to introduce this item, please?
Yes, President Farmer. Agenda item 7C is discussion and consideration of approval to form an ad hoc committee to assist staff with the PG&E investment grade audit program. Staff is recommending the board discuss and consider forming an ad hoc committee to assist staff with the PG&E IGA program. Now, I think this was an item that was pushed from a previous agenda, and after which both the finance and the R&I committees formed ad hocs of their own. So the board may want to consider that in the context of this item.
Oh, okay. You bet. Mm-hmm. They're going to take a break.
Ms. Dickinson, if you would mute yourself, please. Thank you. Vice President Steidel, I thought I saw you raise your hand.
Right. So actually that the two, there were not two separate committees that were formed by the R&I and Finance Committee. It was a joint committee, which had two folks from each of those, so for a total of four, and that Director Pearson would be the ex officio on it. So with that being said, and the fact that Director Pearson would have interaction directly to that joint committee sub hoc, ad hoc committee, I don't see the need for establishing another hierarchy to that with having the board form an additional ad hoc to oversee an ex officio participant and the joint ad hoc committee.
President Farmer?
Mr. Carmel.
I wanted to clarify, under the Brown Act, an ad hoc committee can only consist of less than a quorum of a legislative body. I know we went through this several times with regard to another item. So you can't really have a joint ad hoc committee between two separate legislative bodies, because those standing committees are each legislative bodies. That would have to be a full-on Brown Act committee subject to the notice and agenda requirements of the Brown Act. So if they're not a joint committee and they're just two ad hoc committees separate, you could all meet together and not have to agendize and provide the 72 hours notice. I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay.
Well, we have a member of the public that wishes to comment on this item, Elizabeth Bettenhausen.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I just want to say that I'm fascinated with this discussion about ad hoc committees. It never ceases to be interesting as you try to understand the nature thereof. And it's like my discovering a new fish in the Santa Rosa Creek Lagoon the other day. It was really exhilarating. And so I look forward very much to your continued discussion here. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad you do, Ms. Bettenhausen. So, director comments on this item, please? Further director comments. Director Rice.
So it seems like we've already essentially had two committees create another committee. Being that I'm not a chair of any of the committees, I was unaware that we had a separate committee that had been formed that's four people from two of the committees. And it's absolutely not clear, probably, in the committee bylaws that it's not part of the duties of these committees, whether they're advisory or standing. And that's something I think that's still on the future agenda items. But it's absolutely not an ad hoc, because ad hoc can only be board members, and that means only two board members. If that were the case, I would be objecting to this if it were two board members. I also think that it is not within the purview or the authority of a committee to create another committee in consultation with another committee. I mean, it's a committee. The only group that should be able to form a new committee should be the board, because all of these committees are supposed to be advisory to the board. So maybe I misunderstand what the intent of this item is. If the intent of this item is to formalize the group of four people with one director for purposes of the PG&E investment grade audit program, then I think we should put it out to the public to see if there are other volunteers that would like to serve on a committee, rather than just pulling from the members of the committees that already exist. Now, I know there's a learning curve, and having people who already are starting to understand all of the various parts and pieces involved in our district. And if what's being asked for in this item is for us to essentially ratify two members of R&I, ratify two members of the Finance Committee, and a board member to chair, that's a different item than doing an ad hoc committee. So while I'm not against it, I also think we need to let staff do their job. If staff is saying we need more help, then we need to find maybe a way to do that for them. But I'm not sure assigning a committee to it is the right solution. Somebody change my mind.
I see Director Howell has his hand up, but I'm going to go to Don, but Director Pearson, since you're the chair of R&I, would probably one of the people that would need to be on this ad hoc committee. Perhaps you can make a comment after Don does. So Director Hall, go right ahead.
Thank you. It seems to me that this is pretty much a moot question. As the general manager said, this sort of was an evolutionary thing that and circumstances have changed. So I see no problem with two ad hoc subcommittees of our two standing committees working together, if they choose to do so. That's up to them. It has nothing to do with us. Also, I would just like to point out that as far as those standing committees go, you can have three members on a standing committee and not have a majority. So you could actually, if it's addition, so for example, if Director Pearson is with the R&I committee, then you could conceivably, that's actually a three-person subcommittee. It's possible you could have a three-person ad hoc subcommittee on the other side, but it's really not up to us. So I think that this is a moot thing, and I suggest that we simply move on.
So Director Pearson, thank you, Don. So Director Pearson, let me call on you. Since you're the head of R&I, and this has to do with PG&E and directly connected with your committee, your standing committee, do you have any comments?
Yes, thanks. we formed these two ad hocs. And by the way, the standing the standing committees have a bunch of ad hoc committees that do work and then bring it back to the standing committee to perform their duties and get their stuff done. So all we did was we established an ad hoc committee, one in finance and one in R&I. And the reason that we did that was twofold. One was to assist the staff as much as we could with finding out where monies could be procured for us, either by loans or by grants. If by grants or loans, we could help them fill out applications, get information, do whatever. But more, just as importantly, was that we would have two people, one on each of those key committees, that would be working with the staff as they went through that process, so that they could win those requests from the staff to those subcommittees to go for a grant or go for a loan. They would be well informed and they could help the standing committee with any of the issues that were brought forth and everything, so that we could have a very swift process of approving through those two standing committees and get it to the board as fast as we can, so that we can get those loan and grant applications done quickly. That was the reason that we formed them. And that's the reason that I don't think we need anybody from the main board there now. I agree with Don that we just move along and we go to the next item on the agenda.
So obviously we need to take a vote on whether we're going to form this ad hoc committee. So does anyone wish to make a motion to vote on this item? Director Howell, you seem to have some strong feelings on this, as did Director Pearson. So perhaps one of you can do both of, well, each of you can either make the motion again or second.
Well, I don't know that we need to do it by a motion. We can just do no action taken, or we can do a motion to take no action. What would it be? Maybe advice from counsel on this one.
There you go. Mr. Carmel?
As usual, Director Hall, you were correct. You can either take no action, and it's a no action item, or someone can make a motion to form the ad hoc committee, and it can be denied, and you'd have a record of the denial. But it can take place either way.
Well, then therefore, we won't do anything, which it appears sometimes that that's what we're doing anyway. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break until 4:30. Let's make it 4:25, and we'll come back. And by the way, I just want to make this comment. No matter how much further, how much longer this meeting takes, the next time that we're at an agenda prep meeting and I make the suggestion that we can combine two meetings into one, when it seems like, well, this should be no problem, remind me never to do that again. All right. So we'll be back at 4:25. Thank you. All right, everybody, it appears we're all here. Director Rice will not be joining us for the remainder of the meeting. She had another item to attend to. So let us continue on to item 8 and the manager's reports. And General Manager Weigel.
Thank you, President Farmer. So I'll try to hustle through this because I know we got a lot ahead of us, but just want to highlight a couple of things from the last month. First and foremost, attended several meetings. We have, as I've mentioned in the past, we meeting the general managers of Slo County get together every other week to talk about general issues over lunch. We're all on Zoom. And so this past month, we talked about issues during reopening, how others are handling those. We talked about different mitigations. We talked about how NAPOMO is holding live board meetings now. They have allow up to 10 people from the public, but they're the only ones doing that. And things are going fairly well. They do social distancing there for their meetings. And then we talked a little bit about some of our insurance issues. Insurance seems to be going up, liability insurance and workman's comp. It's going up across the board for everybody about 30%, as we saw. So as we just talked about with in the last agenda topic, on the PG&E front, we are, as a staff, moving forward now to the research phase to pursue funding sources. So there's an awful lot of work to be done there, and we're looking forward to leveraging some help from R&I and finance ad hoc committees. And then last but not least, we filed with Slo Planning this week the coastal development permit for the SWF. Penny, your questions, I'll pass things over to Carlos to talk about the facilities and resources front.
Good afternoon, Carlos.
Hi, good afternoon, board. Nice to see you. Just same as the general manager, I'll try to keep my report brief since it's getting a little late. Just wanted to highlight a couple of things that wanted to bring up to your attention, and it's more kudos, more trying to let you know, sort of the challenges that our department has gone through for the last 4 or 5 months since COVID started. Obviously, it's been a challenge for everybody on our side. It was a challenge to weave and turn as far as the restroom, as far as the vets, or as far as the ranch, as far as trails, and try to adjust, you know, from one thing to the next. On top of that, obviously, it's weed abatement time. So we have a lot of work with weed abatement, with fire breaks. On top of that, we also had a lot of trees that died on the Fiscalina Ranch. And so we had a tree mortality issue that we needed to deal with. So we have been extremely busy trying to, you know, tackle all these fronts that appear before us and try to, at the same time, stay safe and keep the public safe at the same time. And I just wanted to say some kudos, because a lot of this stuff wouldn't have been able to get done if it wasn't for the partnerships that we have in the community and around. Besides the good acknowledgement that Harvey's received today, I also wanted to acknowledge a couple of other people. One is Mission Country Disposal, in particular, Marjo De La Cruz, who is their field supervisor and who I've met on a number of occasions. Fantastic gentleman. I approached them about the homeless and the lack of having a way for them to dispose of their trash. And Mission Country, you know, they were very gracious in dropping off a 3-yard dumpster, picking up all that trash every week without any charge. You know, they've been doing it since mid-March to this day, and, you know, they'll continue to do that as long as they can. That's been a great help for us. And again, you know, the homeless community surely appreciates that. Also wanted to acknowledge the great partnership that we have with the Friends of the Fiscalina Ranch. During the initial COVID March timeframe, I was meeting, talking with the new executive director, Kitty, almost on a daily basis, trying to figure out how we're going to keep the ranch open. Many parks, many trail systems, preserves were closing all over the county due to those concerns. And we worked very hard ourselves on our up on the ranch, mowing the trails, putting up signs. At the beginning, they weren't able to help us as much physically because a lot of their volunteers are older and they had a lot of concerns. But they did help us monetarily. They actually reimbursed us $5,000 of expenses that we had on signage, on contracting out work for expanding the trails along the forest for safe passage. Now that they've been working a little more out in the field, they've been actually helping us on major holiday weekends, as it was 4th of July, being out on the Bluff Trail, taking shifts with folks, greeting people out there, just reminding them about the social distance. So they've been tremendous help through all these months, and I just wanted to send my thank yous to them. And also to the Fire Safe Council, Slo Fire Safe Council. As I mentioned to you, we had, you know, a lot of trees that had died on the ranch, and it was going to cost us a lot of money. They were gracious enough to give us $20,000 to do that work. We have completed that work. We have submitted the invoice to them, and we are waiting for them to send us the check. I'm happy to also say that we have completed the weed abatement of a little over 200 CCSD parcels that were on the weed abatement list. We did that on time, and I'm happy to say that that's over. We're looking at, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel with weed abatement. And at this point, we are looking at doing some work at the Vetzel. Currently at this point, my staff is working on the stage. We are patching holes. We are texturing the walls. We are painting the walls. We're taking this opportunity when we don't have any people using the Vetzel to make some improvements there as well. I think besides that, I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Anyone have any questions for or comments for Carlos? Yeah, I have one, Carlos. Thank you so much for that background that you have there. It's very refreshing to see Mother Nature, all that color behind you, as well as the ocean. It reminds us of why we love living here in Cambria, and especially that we're so fortunate to have the Fiscalini Ranch. So thank you, Carlos. Have a good rest of the week. Have a nice weekend.
Thank you.
Bet. Moving on to the finance manager's report. Ms. Duffield, you've been waiting patiently for your 2 minutes in the sun. So go right ahead.
Thank you, President Farmer, members of the board. I just have one additional comment other than my written report to add to my report, and it's related to the audit status. So I just want to let everybody know that we did engage with a new audit firm. We signed all the paperwork over the last couple of weeks, and we're getting that rolling. We will be working with Moss Levy Hartzman to do the fiscal year 2018-2019 audit. They've already sent a large questionnaire.
Did that you start off, Pam?
I'm sorry, what?
Went off. Your voice went off for a moment. I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
Okay. So we have been exchanging information so far, and we have scheduled the field work to be on August 3rd and 4th. So we're moving ahead. They're aware that we want to get through the audit at lightning speed, because we are behind in our audit, and then be able in a place to move on to the next fiscal year's audit, the 19-20. So I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
All right, thank you. And anyone have, Director Pearson? Director Pearson, you had your hand up? No?
Your mic is off.
Pardon me. Yes, and someone from the public is asking to speak also. My comment is that I'd like an update when you do your report on how many accounts now have asked to be put on a schedule or whatever, or having problems with meeting their payments. I know you might not be prepared to do that today, but at your next, while we're in this COVID thing, I really would like to get those numbers so that we have some idea as to how badly our customers are struggling and being able to pay us.
So the first billing cycle, I reported out that we had approximately, I think it was like 60 customers might have been our high at one point for payment plans. And all of those but one have paid off. And then we're into the next cycle of billing, and our billing due date for the next cycle isn't until the 10th of August. So by the time we have the next board meeting, I can incorporate where we are, because most of our payment plans will be known at that point, and I can provide you an update at that point. But it's good to know that, you know, the last round of bills that were paid, you know, we're on track with that, and everybody was able to manage their bills. So.
Great. That's the kind of information that I'd really like to have every chance that we get, okay?
We could also incorporate that, because that more relates to the pandemic.
Yep.
And maybe that can be just a standard blurb, an update in that staff report.
Sure, maybe absolutely. Absolutely.
Into that staff report. So we can incorporate that, those numbers.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Sure.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, David. I think that's something that we're all concerned about. So thank you for making that inquiry. We have a member of the public that wishes to speak. Ms. Dickerson, go right ahead.
Thank you, President Farmer. I do have a couple of items on the expenditure report that I'm hoping Ms. Duffield can respond to. And this on page 10, Charlie Hench. On page 13, John Miller, and also on page 13, Mark Langlois, received refunds. They're on the water wait list. It said that there was the $5,000 is mentioned in each one of these, and then refunds made of unused deposit. Can you please explain I thought the $5,000 was refunded a long time ago on water waitlist folks, so there must be something I'm not understanding there. And the other item, Ms. Duffield, I don't know if you want to answer that, or should I just give you the other item that I was wondering about?
And that I can answer your first question.
Go ahead. Okay.
So the refunds are, it's not a waitlist. A water line, the W/L in that abbreviation, is a water line installation. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times when someone is doing a tenant improvement or they're modifying a bathroom or adding a room or something, they're required to upgrade to a sprinkler system. So they have to install a larger water line a lot of times. And in order to do that, we require a $5,000 deposit. Once the water department does the work, then the customer gets refunded any deposit that was unused. So those $5,000 items that you're seeing on the expenditure report and the difference that the customers reimburse is related to those completed water line projects.
Ms. Dickerson, are you satisfied? Well, are you fine with that answer?
Oh, there she is.
Oh, okay. Tina, you need to unmute yourself?
I had a second question, and Pam wanted to answer the first one first. So the second one is on June 4th, the Ditch Witch Water Department trailer service and a repair for the trailer amounting to $1,216. I was a little curious about that because the Ditch Witch was just, I understand, purchased about a year ago, and maybe the trailer is a lot older, but it just seemed kind of odd that quite an expense for a trailer repair.
So we can defer to the utilities manager to answer the technical questions related to that. I wouldn't know that information.
Okay, well, I'll speak at that item as well then. Thank you.
Ray is online if you'd like him to answer it.
I can answer that right now if you like. So it's actually annual service for the vacuum paler. It's actually 2 years old and it needs some service, and that's appropriate for that.
All right. Thank you, Ray. So seeing no other comments with regard to the finance manager's report, Ray, why don't we just move forward to, excuse me, Mr. D'Enzo, why don't we just move forward to you with the utilities report? Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Farmer. So I wanted to start off the utilities report. I'll just go through the different facilities that we have. And hopefully you have the picture of the report in front of you. One of the main projects that we did in the wastewater treatment plant was we emptied out the one of the aeration basins, the one that's the creek side basin. And this particular maintenance was a twofold. It was number one for maintenance, and number two, it was so that the engineering team for the PG&E project can inspect it and see the condition of that basin, because we do plan on making some modifications as part of the IGA program. The guys did a bang up work. We thought the work was going to take towards the end, you know, through the end of the month, but they were able to finish it in like a week and a half. So it was a really great job, and we found a lot of cool things in there. John Alchin's cell phone we found. It was one of those things that fell in there when he was giving me a tour of the plant when I first started here. And we found it, but I don't think it worked anymore. And he also, back to, and then in the next, the collection system, as you can see, we're continuing to do collection system maintenance. We're cleaning out the manholes, and we're cleaning out the sewer pipes. As you can see there, some of the interesting pictures that we have, that which Tristan is holding there in figure three is one of the roots that were extracted. And we're finding these kind of things in our sewer pipes. And I wish we could show you the big globules of grease that we have, but sometimes those are hard to pull out after we suck it up. But yeah, we're continuing with that particular maintenance. So a lot of good work's being done there. Also wanted to take an opportunity to show that on figure five, there's that worn out bearing that's from one of our lift station pumps. Specifically, that's from lift station A1, which is off of Sherwood Street. But these are the kind of things that we're starting to find, where the bearings are starting to wear out on these old lift stations. So it's a good thing that a lot of these are set for repairs and upgrades. Moving on to the water department, the big project that we had there this last month was we did some maintenance on the iron and manganese filter there in Santa Rosa Creek well number four. The guys were able to, the consultant that did the installation years ago came by and was able to give us some feedback on some of the problems that we were having with the filter system, and now it's up and running and running really well. Guys are also continuing with their valve exercising, which is part of our permit to be doing, and it also gives all the operators an opportunity to be very familiar with where all the valves are located in case of emergencies. Leak repairs are continuing, unfortunately, but the guys are to handle on that as well. The only update I have for the sustainable water facility is we do have scheduled the clean in place and system audit maintenance is scheduled for the end of July, the last week of July. And I'll be giving you a full report on that next month's utilities report meeting. And as far as the water conservation reports are concerned, good news, we were awarded the Water Smart grant. This was we applied for the flume devices. So we got that, and so the actual award, the official awarding of the grant won't happen until the fall of this year. As far as conservation and permits, the report is there, and also the regulatory reports that were submitted are also there. No notices of violation. I also wanted to tell you all that all the well production, the well levels and the water production are trending normal. The water production in June compared to last year was a touch higher as far as water use, but it's not outside of normal. But that completes my report, and I'm open for any questions.
Thank you, Ray. It appears we have a member of the public that would wish to ask you a question. Tina Dickerson.
Thank you, President Farmer. I do have several questions, Mr. D'Enzo, that you didn't address. And I was on Sesame Creek Road two or three times last week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. On Tuesday, July 7th, when I was coming back from a trip further up the creek road, both the ditch witch equipment was coming out of the gate of the facility and a backhoe. And I really would like to know when you say there wasn't much happening, I'd like to know what was happening, because that certainly indicates to me that there was a lot of activity. And I saw it actually about 3 days, the ditch witch coming back to the plant, going out to Sansomine Creek Road, but actually coming out of the facility and a backhoe. I also asked, where are we with from June 25th, when you said we're going to begin the in-stream flow study for a year? I also want to ask about the pump testing. I understand you're going to be doing a pump test. And I would also ask if Mr. Greshens, Bob Greshens, is advising you in any capacity at this time or has been.
Okay, let me take that one by one. So the appearance of the ditch witch was, number one, the back trailer, which I guess that's what's considered a ditch witch, is it was being cleaned with non-potable water. That was the explanation for that. And we were also doing training with our crew with the tractor, with the backhoe. So that was an explanation about that. Bob Greshens has been advising me on some things, but for the most part, he's been retired. So, and as far as the in-stream flow study is concerned, we are continuing to still work out the scope items. I'm not delaying it, if that's what you're implying. I'm not, we're communicating with our crew. I mean, our environmental team about that, because even though we kind of know what we want out of the in-stream flow study, the details are very problematic, or I didn't mean to say it like that. They're complex. So all of those things still needs to be worked through, but I'm hoping to get that scope completed by sometime next week. The draft of it, and for review by other agencies. And the other thing too, regarding the question about pump testing, no conclusions about that. As far as I'm concerned, we're probably not going to do it. But again, I'm not going to commit to what we're going to do about that, because the conversations are very preliminary at this point. But for the most part, to answer the other question with Bob, he's retired, and I'm letting him enjoy his retirement. So, but but he is still, I occasionally ask him a question here and there about stuff.
Thank you very much, Ray. General Manager Weigold wishes to make a comment.
Thanks, President Farmer. I just wanted to make two additional points on the utilities front. In this month's or in this billing period, we enclosed a little flyer to remind people to turn off their water mains if they leave town. I'm regularly seeing people that leave their water on, leave town, go away for weeks on end, and oh my God, my toilet was running the whole time. Can I get a break? You know, unless there's a leak in there on our fault, you know, I'm going to turn it to the board, or I'm going to be turning these down more often than not, and I'm going to turn it over to the board if they want to protest. So I just want to put that out there. The second is just another reminder: please don't in the public, please don't flush things down the toilet that you didn't eat before. And that includes putting things down the drain. Our filter system does take this stuff out, but I was down there at the aeration basin when we emptied that. I saw John Alchin's phone personally, along with a whole bunch of other things down there. And if we find somebody's name on it, we're going to return it. Thank you, Mr. President.
I'd be curious to know in which fashion you'd be returning that, but that's another story. Thank you, General Manager Weigold. I noticed that John Alchin was attending the meeting earlier, but he's not here at this time. I hope you don't mind, Ray, but I see that Chief Plant Operator, Mr. Jim Green is attending the meeting. Jim, did you wish to make any comments at all?
I think Jim is just observing. He actually went home sick. He really shouldn't be watching. So anyway.
All right. Thank you. Okay. So does any member of the board have any comments for Ray? Well, seeing none, we will now move on to item 9, which is board member committee and liaison reports. If you don't mind, I'd like to hear a motion to extend this meeting. You know, let's say 5:30, but we'll shoot for 5:15. I hope everybody's okay with that. Would someone wish to make a motion to extend the meeting till 5:30? Members of the board, please.
I'll make that
motion. Don't all volunteer? Oh, thank you. Thank you, Director Pearson. Would anybody wish to second this, please? All right.
So
I will second.
I would move to extend it to 5:15.
Okay.
I would second that.
Hopefully,
I've got reports that going back 2 weeks now that I'd really like to do. So if we could do it till 5:15, give me 5 minutes. I can ramble through this stuff.
May I weigh
in?
Let me weigh in on this, please. I will vote against extending. If I do extend, this will be the last meeting that I will vote to extend. We need to be paying a little more attention to our time. You know, what's happened is we add the additional meeting, and all we do is we take more time. So I will allow this one to. I will vote for this one for 15 more minutes, but this is the last one. After this, if you have two votes, we will. Now, what we can do, and before I hate to take your time on this, but our other choice is to adjourn this meeting to another time. And that will be what I will be doing on the next time that we run over. So having said that, just to let you know.
Well, I have a problem with adjourning at this time and doing a good job on all of these reports that I have. Maybe we, you know, adjourn till Monday afternoon or something. I don't care.
That would be acceptable to me. I mean, I think, Tim, an adjourned meeting requires 24-hour notice. Is that true?
That's correct.
Okay, so we could adjourn to Monday. Let me see if I...
May I remind Director Howell that after the very extensive... Well, first, we had the meeting on... our second meeting in June. And because we couldn't extend that meeting, we had to postpone the reports until the special meeting that we had on June 25th. Unfortunately, after the over three dozen comments on the CDP and the plant, the operating of the plant, once again, we were unable to extend that meeting 15 minutes to hear the reports. So we are actually far behind on hearing the reports from board member committee and liaisons. And I think that considering the fact that we're behind twice, this is the third time we have brought reports up, and I think they need to be considered like now. And to a courtesy of those of us who attend these meetings and haven't had the opportunity to make reports, especially as Director Pearson said, he has a number of items to report because we haven't been able to. So I'm going to...
President Farmer?
Yes, Director Pearson.
Yeah, you know, 15 minutes is going to be tough for me to get in my information on all the liaisons and the R&I. So I'd much rather delay until Monday or Tuesday or whatever you want to do it than try to cram everything that I've got into 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Or less.
Chairman? Mr. Chairman?
Go right ahead, Director Howell.
I move that we adjourn this meeting to Monday at 10 o'clock.
I'll second that.
That is a debatable motion, I think. Is it debatable, Tim?
Yes, it is.
Okay. We have 2 minutes to debate it.
Well, Director Howell, I'll just say this. I hope you're not trying to make points with the president of the board.
No.
So, Vice President Steidel, did you wish to make any comments in the final 2 minutes that we have here in this meeting?
No, Monday works fine for me. That way, the appropriate time will be given to the people who have information to deliver to the board.
I think it makes sense to give adequate time. It's not like we have a lot of other stuff to do. At least.
Well, let me just say this in the final minute that we have. It's not like we're debating information here or an item of policy or whatever. We're just listening to information that's being provided by board members.
That's true. But the next 2 minutes, we won't be able to meet on Monday either. So we need to take a vote.
All right, we'll take a vote to extend this meeting till Monday morning at 10 o'clock. Haley, would you take a roll call vote, please?
Director Howell?
Aye.
Director Pearson?
Aye.
Director Rice?
She's not here.
Oh, she left. Vice President Steidel?
Aye.
President Farmer?
Aye. It's a beautiful day outside, everybody, wherever you are. Go out and enjoy. Thank you for everybody for attending and your comments. Be safe out there. Wear a mask. Be considerate of others. Be kind of others. And much love. This meeting's adjourned. Thank you.